Now we're going to look at part two, which will be the reading from Isaiah and the psalm. And as I said, the theme of all these writings is the vine. Perhaps I'll refer to a few of the texts. The vine is an abiding biblical symbol. It's found, go through. What you can do when you want to find out a thing like this, you can look at something like Léon Dufour's Dictionary of Biblical Theology under the word vine. There'll be a nice collection of how this image has been used throughout the Bible. And that will be in the mind of Isaiah and his listeners, and our Lord and his listeners. And so it's a good start, you know, to get an idea of what does the Bible, what's the abiding impact that this word has when you hear it in this context. Again, we're talking about context. One of the basic principles is this. It's an interesting thing about a vine. It's worth nothing except its fruit. Can't do anything with the rest of it. The leaves, the branches, they're all useless. There's a nice Ezekiel text I'm going to quote on that. The only thing that's worthwhile in a vine is the fruit. If it's not producing fruit, it's useless. Even an olive tree, you can cut it up and make carve things with it and sell them in Bethlehem, you know, even if it's not producing fruit. But a vine that does not produce fruit is absolutely useless. You see? And it's the vine that makes gods and men happy, according to Judges 9:13. Let me read just this text. Thus the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, what makes the wood of the vine better than any other wood? That branch among the trees of the forest? Can you use this wood to make anything worthwhile? Can you make even a peg from it, to hang on it any kind of vessel? And it goes on. The challenge, you see, if you're the vine, you've only got one thing to do, produce fruit. But the fruit of the vine, it says in Psalm 104, which is on creation, you raise grass for the cattle and plants for our beasts of burden. You bring bread from earth and wine to gladden our hearts. Oil to make our faces gleam, food to build our strength. All of these gifts that earth gives us by God's blessing, you see. There are many others. I will come back to some when we look at the gospel. But you can remember one, which is not the one that we have today, when our Lord says, I am the vine. I am Israel. All right. So, we could just imagine Isaiah. It's one of the feast days, you know, celebrating the gathering in of the grapes. And Isaiah, who's probably a prominent man in the court and one of the learned scholars of his day for sure, he goes down where they're singing songs and enjoying the evening. I'm making this up, I don't know, it doesn't say in the text. But he went someplace to challenge, huh? And it starts off by saying, now let me sing a song of my friend. Oh, okay. Everybody's around the campfire playing guitars or whatever they do. And he starts, you see? Now let me sing a song of my friends. My friend's song concerning his vineyard. You see? Haya ledodi bekerem ben shemen. You see, my friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, planted the choicest vines. Within it he built a watchtower, and he hewed out a wine press. You're starting to get the idea, because all of these images of vine that I've quoted, at least some, would be on their mind. Isaiah is before Ezekiel, so the Ezekiel wouldn't. But this proverbial understanding of a vine, okay? He built a watchtower, hewed out a wine press, and then he looked for the crop of grapes. But what it yielded was wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge now the prophet. Now he's speaking in God's name. Judge between me and my vineyard. Everybody knows what's going on now. You see, we have this psalm. I think I put it down here. I didn't, but another text that I could have had here was that you planted a vineyard. I thought I did put that down. But anyway, they know what he's talking about. So now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? I've done everything for you. I've given you my word. I've corrected you. I've forgiven you. I've guided you. I've given you a king. I've given you prophets. I've given you wise men. What have I not done for you? To say nothing of the prosperity of your land and the beautiful temple. This is Isaiah, who got his vocation in the temple, if you remember. Why, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Now comes the threat, the prophetic threat. Take away its hedge. Give it to grazing. Break through its wall. Let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. This is the prophetic threat. You are my beloved vineyard. You are my pride and joy. But you produce nothing. And you know, God says, as well as I do, or at least know it well enough, a vine that doesn't produce fruit is good for nothing. And so, I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the people of Judah are his cherished plant. And then there's a sort of a play on words here now. He looked for mishpat, judgment. Vachene mishpach, bloodshed. He looked for tzedakah, v'ene tzedakah. He looked for justice, and instead there was an outcry, a call for help. And of course, Isaiah, this good literary man that he is playing with words. You see, it's not mishpat, it's mishpach. It's not tzedakah, it's tzedakah. In other words, you produce nothing. That's the threat. And that's the theme of this liturgy. It's a call to conversion, as we'll see when we get to the gospel. The psalm is also developing this. It's after, part of the psalm at least, probably the whole psalm, is after the fulfillment of the threats predicted by Isaiah. That is, we are now ruined in exile. And this is a psalm, it's Psalm 80. They take some selected verses from it. A vine from Egypt you transplanted. You drove away the nations and planted it. It put forth its foliage to the sea, that's the Mediterranean. It shoots as far as the river, that's the Mesopotamian Valley. Okay? Why have you broken down its walls so that every passerby plucks its fruit? The boar from the forest lays it waste, and the beasts of the field feed upon it. You see how he's praying? We're despoiled because of our evil. Now, our Lord is not going to use this text, but I'm going to talk about it. Our Lord says, now, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. If you don't produce fruit, you're going to be cut off and burned. It's a call. Isaiah is still calling us to conversion, to produce fruit. Now, this is a mystery, isn't it? Why does God want us to produce fruit? For the good of the whole human race. Prayer, love, reparation, intercession, care of the poor. He wants all of that to be the fruit of his vine, the church. You see? Now, and wants all that for the fruit of his vineyard, Israel. Now comes the prayer. Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine and protect which your right hand has planted. And now it changes the image. The Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong. Is it the king or is it just the whole people? The Son of Man. Remember how in Daniel, the Son of Man goes to the Ancient of Days, and then several verses later, the Son of Man rhymes with the people, the saints of the Most High God. So look on us, huh? Protect this vine, the Son of Man, whom you have made strong. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we will call upon your name. Now, this is very profound. It doesn't say, we're going to do better. By golly, Lord, you're going to be impressed. We're going to do so much better. We're going to really call on our resources. We're going to, because we don't have any resources. We can't keep God's will on our own. And so we're praying, Lord, come to us again in mercy, strengthen us, lead us, and we promise we will yield to your movement in us and become holy, no matter what it costs. That's what we're saying in the psalm already. You see, O Lord, God of hosts, restore us. If your face shine upon us, we shall be saved. And so, the basic image in the readings for this liturgy are that the vineyard, the vine, is the people of God, and they are challenged. And if they don't produce fruit, they will be thrown out of the vineyard. Now, the gospel is going to be our Lord's warning to the people of Israel. But then why is it read on this 27th Sunday after in ordinary time? Oh, my goodness, look how bad the Jews were. No. This is the word of God addressed to us right now. That's what it is. And it's saying, you've got to come to me and let me work a conversion in you, so that you can produce fruit. That's why I have a people, so that people all the world can know me. They have to see that radiance on your face. They have to see the forgiveness in your heart. They have to see, for instance, your care for the weakest, the tiniest, for the unborn. They've got to see it. They may hate it for a while, but they'll know you're right, and many will come to join you.